Our scripture this morning is taken from Colossians 1, 15 through 18. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things. In him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy.
Jesus is the head of the body, the body being the church. Jesus is the beginning and the end. The firstborn. Or shall we say, the first to be born again or conquer over the power of death. Therefore, Jesus occupies the first place in everything. These are Paul's words in his letter to the Colossians. Jesus occupies the first place in everything. No doubt Jesus is first. We know that, right? I mean, there's no one that has done or can do what Jesus did. No one. And so why wouldn't he be first? Why wouldn't he be in first place? Jesus is the first in that he is the head supervisor of the church. And you all thought it was me. Yeah, I hear the rumbling there. Jesus is supervisor, head of the church. What does that mean? What could that mean for you and for me and for Glendale First United Methodist Church? We often talk about Jesus being our leader, right? We say it, we sing it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, Jesus' words. We say we are the body of Christ. Last week I think you sang we are the body of Christ. Is that right? For closing hymn? No? Yeah? We are the body of Christ. We say that. We say that in communion. We say it in other sayings. But when we go outside of these doors, we often don't use that terminology. I'm speaking to myself as much as I'm speaking to you. I don't go into the grocery store to get groceries and then come up to the counter or to the cash register and say, hey, did you know I believe that Jesus is first? Well, it probably wouldn't work that well anyway for me to say that in that way, because the person behind the counter might look at me funny and or might feel a little bit uncomfortable. Or if they're really a strong Christian, they might say, amen. But we don't usually use that kind of language, but we also, maybe more often than not, don't show it. On our way back from the mission trip, we just came off a long stretch of on the reservation, the Navajo reservation, and we stopped at a gas station to use the restrooms and to buy a few things to quench our thirst or maybe to get a snack or two. And I noticed over there in the parking lot there was a motorhome. It was rather tattered and looked a little shabby. And there was a guy standing outside of that motorhome with a gas can and a sign, need gas. And I was thinking to myself, it was going through my head, wow, I would not want to be in that situation. That would be terrible. And I kept rolling around in my mind and in my heart, and even thoughts came to me, you know, I didn't have any cash on me, but we had some cash in the van for lunches. And I think the Spirit was working on me because these thoughts in my head were, you know what, I don't need lunch. I've eaten so much on this youth trip that I've probably gained 5 pounds. You know, and I'm thinking, I don't need this money. I'm going to go give that guy that $10 and skip lunch. Do you think I did that? No. I got back in the van, and off we went. Jesus is the head of the body, ought to be first. And actually, Jesus was trying to be first there, was trying to motivate me, but the other thoughts in my head, you know, this guy probably does this, that's probably the way they make vacation, you know? They just mooch off everybody else and go and have a good time, but in my heart, no, I don't think that guy was having a good time. I don't care, maybe he is a con man, but I can't believe in my heart that he was having a great time. A few days earlier, there was this wonderful coffee shop that we would go to and right in Dolores, and what a wonderful man. I was there getting coffee one morning, and this gentleman who I think owns the place, a small little coffee shop, he says to me, hey, are you a part of this youth group in town? And I said, yeah. And he said, wow, how many are there of you? And I said, 52. And he said, that's amazing. You know, he said, we've had other youth groups come through here every year, and it's so wonderful to have you all here. And he said, you know what? I'd like you to tell the group to come down someday this week before you go back. And I want to give everyone ice cream. And the thoughts were going through my mind, well, you know, we have a budget. We don't have a lot of money. He says, and it's on me. It's my treat. 52 of you. I don't know, but I think maybe he's not a churchgoer. Maybe he doesn't even darken the door of a church. I'd like to think that he does, but still I think Jesus was guiding him somehow, some way. If he doesn't go to church, the Spirit was moving in his life because he saw with gratitude this group of youth and adults that were coming to do projects and not charging anything for it, for people that were in need, for churches that needed help, needed some projects completed so they could continue to do their ministry, and he was grateful for that. The first and foremost, the head of the body. We are an active church here. We do many things. We do great things. We have an outreach office where every year, to the tune of, I think, close to $30,000, you all support that ministry. Some years we get a grant, and did I get that figure right, Rosie? Right around $25,000 to $30,000 a year. Lunches, free lunches, groceries, $50 vouchers, which we can do more of those when we get a grant from other sources. We have 4 worship services here. You may not think of all of, or be aware of or be tracking in terms of we have 4, but we have a Wednesday noon service, we have an 8 o'clock service, we have a 9 o'clock service, and we have an 11:11 service. That's a lot for a church our size. We have many of you are leaders, and you do many things. Or let me rephrase that, some of you do many things, and many of you support this ministry. You come here week after week. So hear me right here when I say we sometimes forget that Jesus is the head, or that Jesus is first. I'm not saying to any of us here that we just don't do much here. But let me ask you this question. If any of you who are our parents, if you get to a place, have you ever gotten to a place in your life where, in terms of parenting, you say to yourselves, you know, I have nothing more to learn. I am the greatest parent there ever was and ever will be. No, I could tell by your murmuring that no, you don't get to that place. You haven't gotten to that place. And how many of you who are working now or have worked sometime in your life got to the place where you thought, I don't need to do anything else. I am the greatest person in this job that there ever has been and ever will be. The same is true in our Christian life. We never arrive at a place where we are the greatest Christian we have ever been and that ever will be. There's always, always room for us to grow in how we live out our life. There's always room for us to open up a little bit more and say, Jesus, come right in here because I'm not quite doing. Or I didn't quite do what I know you called me to do. This is what Paul is saying. And he knew it more than anyone. He knew it from firsthand experience that Jesus had to be first in his life. Otherwise, he thought he was first. And when he thought he was courageous, was strong, had all that he had to do what God called him to do, when he was following every note of the law, he was way off track. Way off track. Over here persecuting people who were striving to do what God desires for us to do. And he knew in his life that the difficulties that he had would keep him on the straight and narrow if only he would put Jesus first in his life. You see, we cannot and we will never benefit from the strength that Christ can give us if we don't put him first. We just won't. We'll strive as best we can, sometimes in wonderful good ways, and other times we'll go way off course, but we'll strive as best we can to live that life that we're called to live. Jesus is the one who taught us and shows us that God is first. Jesus put God first in his life, and it led him on a pathway. And some people would say self-destruction. When I was in college, I took psychology 101. The teacher stood up and said, he was talking about religion, and he said, yeah, that Jesus was something else. He said, he was a little crazy, but he didn't go any farther than that. And at the time, I didn't fully realize not what he was saying, but the fact that, yes, Jesus was a little crazy when it comes to life in the world, because he set his eyes on that straight and narrow path, knowing that at the end of it, he would wind up on a cross. But God was first in his life, and so love became the thing that drove him and kept him on that course, no matter what. And as he walked at that walk, and I'm thankful that he did, he saved the world. He saved you and he saved me, and he still saving people. But here's the clincher. He's not here physically anymore. Just like when I ask our children, who is the first and most important person in your life? It's now in our hands. It's now our responsibility to keep Jesus and God first in our lives. And when we do, the world continues to be changed by the power of love. So, when we go out these doors today, take with you that important understanding and belief that you are loved just as you are. Don't have to change a thing. You're loved. But if you want the world to know the love that has changed your life, then you have to take it out there. And you have to share it. You have to live it. You have to make and keep Jesus on first. Amen.